Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tam Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Ditka, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back with you live from Gatex here in Las Vegas, getting ready for UFC 296, 296 Media Day. This lineup, Matthew, this lineup, G-Man, is pretty impressive. You have two title fights. You have, and you talked about passing of the torch. I don't know if Tony Ferguson will like that comment, but it's true.
Well, I didn't say that
would be denied. It is. I mean, there's plenty, and we talked about the age of some of these fighters,
right?
And then some of the younger guys. So, I don't know. That is a terminology all the time that's talked about, and I see Tony Ferguson winning this fight. I'm not a big. I like the persona of Paddy the Batty. I love the poop story that was on the ring, you know, when his dog took the dump. But I'm not overly impressed.
Well, I'm not either with Paddy, but I can see the reality of Tony has not looked very impressive in the last number of fights that he's had, and nothing at all like he was
ever since he tripped over the cable.
Yeah.
And I'm being serious. You know, he's supposed to have the fight with I can't think of his name, Habib. You know, anyway. And the fight was supposed to be in Tampa, and tripped over the cord. And he really has never been the same since then.
Yeah. The cable guy, they called him after that.
The Ace Ventura. That was his nickname. Yeah. What you got, Matt?
I'm just kind of looking at flights to see if I can join you guys Saturday in Vegas. So maybe you can talk to Navi for me, put in a good word, be like, slide on in.
This is the only guy I know that purposely misses the live broadcast. Well, I'll get there after the radio show to do all the enjoyment stuff. We did something last night. We went and saw that show called Awakening.
Okay.
Seen that?
No, I fell asleep when I went to that.
Well, I did three times as well, but it was still cool.
Yeah.
I dozed a little. Again, got up at 3 in the morning. But, you know, when tickets are $4, it's kind of hard not to go to it.
Why not?
VetTix.com. So are you looking at the lineup at all there, Matt? Have you looked at it? I mean, I know that we all know who's fighting, but when you look at...
It's a massive card. It's a massive card.
Randy Brown, the opening fight.
It's huge. For the early prelim to have the first fight, Randy Brown versus Muslim Sakhavov.
Leave it to Matt. I love when Matt pronounces his name, especially ones he pronounces.
Salikov.
So I did neglect to say when Dustin Jacoby was here, he's the main event. You know that, right?
Dustin is the main event of the prelims?
In the prelims.
The early prelim.
Yeah.
And then one of our guests, Josh Emmett, is the main event.
And
he's the main event of the prelim card.
And let's expand on that. I mean, Josh Emmett went through a phase where he didn't do media. He didn't want to talk to media. And he broke that to come on our show years ago. And now I'm excited to have him back on the show today.
And I think he's done the show at least once since that appearance that I believe was in Orlando.
Yep.
You know, Cody Garbrandt, you know, on the prelims. You know, again, should say what kind of stacked, you know, card this is.
And the guy with the greatest nickname on the card.
It's not, though.
Your featherweight, Andre Touchy-Feely.
All right, G-Man, depending on how you answer this, I was going to say, since I respect your opinion. First, I need to hear your answer, and then I'll tell you if I respect your opinion.
Yeah.
So we do a thing, as I'm sure many people do, about nicknames, the greatest nicknames, whatever. I believe the greatest nickname in MMA was Uncle Creepy. And there's a story behind it and whatever. But his name is Ian Uncle Creepy McCall. McCall is his last name. Ian is his first name. Andre is his first name. Feely is his name. So his nickname is not Touchy Feely, which would be cool if his name was Andre Touchy Feely Feely.
Right.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying his nickname is not Touchy Feely.
And you're not funny.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I like this guy.
Like, oh my God! I go from one Matt to another. This is maybe wasn't my best decision. 3 hours of this should be fun.
Well, but listen, I felt bad for you though. You said you'd meet me in the parking lot and everything. So I refuse coming on.
Well, it was brought to my attention. It is not my house. I kind of felt like I needed to get you in here.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you don't have any pull here. What are you attempting?
Well, the pressure came to me, but when you spoke with that person, I did go behind the both of you and come up, you know, so I wouldn't have to answer any questions. Right. What I was doing here so early.
Right. So what is your opinion? What is his nickname? Not putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no. What do you mean, what is his nickname? You're asking me if I think it's a good nickname?
No.
Touchy-feely?
Touchy-feely is an awesome nickname.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hilarious. It's awesome.
Probably one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
Except Feely is not part of his nickname.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Like, as long as you say it that way.
I don't think you should let facts and everything stand in the way of a good nickname.
Have you interviewed Wes Sims before?
No, I haven't.
Do you know who Wes Sims is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, Wes Sims used to say all the time, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
That's true.
Right. So I figured you guys must have hung out.
You know, believe it or not. Bob Sheridan, one of the voice of boxing that just passed away recently, he actually said that to me.
Right.
About don't let the facts get in the way of it. Because a friend of mine was doing a fight with him, color commentary, and he said he heard Bob during this fight. He was going on and on about what was happening. When the fight was over, he said, Bob, you really, a lot of things that you said didn't really materialize. And that's when he said, don't ever let, you know, let facts get in the way of a good broadcast. Remember that, Smitty. So that's always stuck with me.
So I'm going to go with he's on my side, that his nickname is Touchy. Which now that's questionable.
He may be. You can go up to him and say, are you touchy about the nickname?
Yeah. No. Are you touchy about being touchy?
Right. What kind of a conversation is this that we're having? This is ridiculous.
That's what this show is.
All right.
All right, what's next, Matt?
No, going back to the card, it's a massive card considering it's coming out of the Apex. I mean, this is something you would expect to see at T-Mobile or any other stadium around the country. Edwards, Colby Covington.
Ron, just let Matt keep talking, because Matt just said that this card is at the Apex. He doesn't know that it's at T-Mobile because it
really
is a massive card.
Oh, it's not at the Apex. You're at the Apex now, right?
Oh, my God.
We are at Apex.
Apex. You're not?
Yeah.
I thought the fights were at the Apex.
It's like in Toronto, Sky Dome, when it used to be. They'd say, you're going to Sky Dome?
Right.
Not the
Sky Dome?
No.
But it just rolls. The Apex rolls, even though it's Apex. Coming to you live from the Apex.
Well, it rolls, but it's wrong.
It's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you got to love Ron. He gets right to it. You are wrong and an idiot.
So that's something I want to talk to the UFC about, because when you go to the UFC events, you know, it doesn't say where the fights are. It doesn't tell you on the card. It doesn't say it's at T-Mobile. You know, I think they should add that. I think it's important.
I'm pretty sure it does.
I think it does.
I'm on it. I'm on it right now.
Are you?
On what side are you on? The UFC side? Wikipedia?
UFC, Google, and then UFC, and then events. It does say it if you click on the fighter or the fight itself. So if you click on Leon Edwards versus Colby, it brings up another window. At the bottom, it says T-Mobile Arena pay-per-view.
Could you imagine if this card was at Apex?
Well, that's what I was saying. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, if this is, it would be legendary. I mean, to have this kind of a star power at their facility.
I think the biggest problem...
To have a lottery for people to get in.
Sure, you know, for sure.
But the strategy would be that at the Apex, the octagon's only 25 foot, where at the big stadiums, they do 30-foot octagons. So it changes the fight strategy, and it could play a big role into either person's strategy or advantage of winning.
Yeah.
So location does matter. I mean, it's not the same apparatus every time they go out and fight
on
pay-per-view.
No, I mean, the size of the cage, I get. I totally understand.
That happens in boxing too. You know, the size of the ring, it makes a big difference.
How long did it take you, Ron Gerard, better known as the G-Man here in Las Vegas, you know, to convert anything from boxing? Because when this first kind of started, the avid boxers, the real boxers, the real boxing media wanted no part of MMA.
I'm laughing because I remember when they first started. And they contacted me to see if I wanted to cover the event, you know, and I don't remember which number it was. I thought, well, what the heck, I'm going to go, you know. And you're right. Most of the boxing cognoscenti, as they say, the people that follow it close, they didn't want anything to do with it. But I really liked it. And I covered it for a number of years. And then I remember that from the organization, after like maybe 5 years, they said to me, "Who are you?" And what are you doing here? And I said, "You invited me." It was like back in 1998 or something. They said, "Well, can you verify who you are?" I did. I had to verify who I was. And then they said, "Well, even though you sent us this, we're still going to let you in." So I've been coming ever since. But they treat you very well here. Yeah,
no, for sure.
They really do.
You know, and when it first started, I remember vividly Bert Sugar, you know, again, the boxing world.
Right.
I met him in Detroit, ironically, because we've been talking Detroit a couple times today. And we had a heated conversation on the street as we were walking to the stadium. I believe it was the All-Star game, but I could be wrong.
He went to a lot of All-Star. He was a great baseball guy, too. Yeah.
Well, it was either the All-Star game or the Super Bowl. It was one of those two that was in Detroit. And it was a heated argument, you know, because the boxing experts were dead against MMA at the beginning. And the ironic thing is, at the end of his life, he was doing the boxing segment on my show. So we became friends because of the dislike and my love for MMA, his dislike for MMA, and kind of moved it over. Then there was a pretty big name, and just for legal reasons, I won't say his name, because I didn't tape this conversation that we had. A very big boxing guy on ESPN told me he hated mixed martial arts. My follow-up question was, "Have you ever watched it?" His response was, "No."
Yeah,
that was my thing, as you chuckle. I said, "Well, don't you think you should at least watch it and then hate it? I'm okay if you hate it if you've never seen it. But how can you hate something and talk negative about it, you know, on the air if you've never seen it?"
But that's the way people are. You know, you've known people. This has happened to all of us, you listeners. You'll look at a guy and say, "You know, I can't stand that guy over there. I don't like him." I said, "Do you know him?" "No, I never met him. I just don't like him." You know? So I think that goes over into sporting events or whatever you're going to do. "I don't like this job." "How long you've been on?" I haven't started it yet. "I just filled an application now."
I'm sure that's happened to you as well, Matthew.
Well, we get it a lot because Randy wears his Navy hat everywhere. And they're like, "Look, we don't want to be around losers. Army is the winners. They beat Navy on Saturday."
There you go. I'm not gonna argue with you. I think you made a very valid point there.
Oh, it's a correct point. I understand. Army won.
And gee, what? You know that Randy covered the first Army Navy game 124 years ago. He was there live, and then he was there on Saturday. So Randy's got a long career.
Let me tell the emotional story, the ending. I haven't told it on air. I know some of you off the air, I have. So Steve and I went up Saturday morning, spent the day at Gillette Stadium. We saw more weapons, more guns, more tanks, more helicopters, more protection, more security than any place I've ever been in my life. And I've been in the White House, and I've been to the Super Bowls. And for obvious reasons, you know, a distinguished gentleman kind of walked by me. And behind him was a guy, looked like a librarian, clipboard, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm adding it a little bit, but the third person, that they were all like ducks, you know, walking all right behind each other. He had night goggles on. He had a machine gun. He had a flamethrower, 16 hand grenades. He was pulling a tank. He had a sleigh. And I'm like, what's going on? Well, that was the Secretary of Defense that was walking in front of him. So when I say the weapons that were there because of what was there, it was unbelievable. It was so impressive. I had a long talk with Kevin Carter, and Kevin's comment, and I agree, every American should be required to go to this game.
What?
A, you could never get a ticket, first of all. But when you see, you know, the entire, well, it's not the entire class, because I don't know who's on the field marching and who's in the stand screaming. That's how many are there. I posted some photos. The entire, what appeared to be the entire lower 100 level was Army on one side, Navy on the other in uniforms. Except for when Rob Gronkowski jumped in the stands. You know, that was a little different. So I'll tell the story quickly. Unbelievable. Both teams, not very good. What I thought was a bad coaching decision by Navy to go for two. Then they get stopped at the one-inch line, et cetera, et cetera. But how our weekend ended should put the entire perspective of life in the fact that all of those people that played in that game, that sat in those stands, have signed a document willing to die for this country, as Ron, you and I did as well, to defend this country. And, you know, we all take that for granted. It's no big deal. You don't think about it. So then Steve and I get on our plane, our private plane. No, it wasn't. It was Delta. And I saw it right away. You would have to be military to understand. When they went to announce it, I asked Steve, hey, did you notice when they walked on? And he said, no. And Ron, I told you off the air, I understand if people don't get it. Two fully dressed uniform military personnel walked on the plane carrying a folded flag, you know, in the little pouch and the whole nine yards. So what's the first thing you think of when you would see that?
Well, that there someone had the remains, body.
Right, you know. A body or remains. And just as we were ready to land, the pilot came on and said that they were given the honor. And this is a crappy story because what it means is that there's a body on this plane. But that's what put or should put life in perspective, the Army-Navy game in perspective. You know, there was almost some fistfights on the field between the two teams. But when it's all said and done, and Matt, you know how I treat, and I treat Ron the same way. It's a shame that he didn't go in the military. He went in the Army. When all of that is said and done, you know, I hate that word brother, you know, especially after some things that you and I have ran into. But it is a brother. You know, even the Coast Guard, which definitely isn't military. The Air Force, which shouldn't be military. But when it's all said and done, they all are military. And it's all in good fun. But the good fun ends when there is a body or there's remains on a plane that's being brought back, you know, for their final resting place. So that's my Army-Navy. I'm sorry, that's my Navy-Army story.
See, even you'll even get chippy with something like a story that is an emotional story, and then you want to make a point.
Well, the point is I'm a proud Navy, of course. Why is and you're a proud Army, I get that. Captain Kelly is a proud, he's the one of the few people that doesn't care who wins because he was in both. So he wins no matter what, but of course he loses no matter what as well. Yeah. So there you have it. That's my story, Matt, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, yeah, so the big question is, did the Navy, were they able to recruit the Secretary of Defense to their team for next year? Because that goal line stand was legendary.
It was legendary. It was bad play calling, too.
Well, I mean, but the Army definitely had the correct defense on that play.
So we're going to have a guest possibly next week in our studio there at Cool Breeze. So as you may know, and people in the Tampa Bay area may or may not know, that there is a Northeast Viking, a Northeast graduate that played for the Naval Academy, number 31. So I'm looking for Xavier before the game. I wanted to introduce myself. Couldn't find him, took some photos and posted it. Then after the game, I'm looking for him. I couldn't find him. I'm watching, I'm videotaping some of the scuffles or whatever. As I start to walk to the Navy locker room, a guy is about one step in front of me wearing a jersey number that starts with the number 3. And I take a couple steps and I'm like, this can't be. So here I've looked for this guy for 6 hours. I take a step back. I look on the back of his jersey. It is number 31. And that is Xavier. So I said, hey, fellow Viking. So we talked for a few minutes. He'll be home next week. He'll be home for a couple weeks. And we're going to have him in studio to talk about the Army, the Navy-Army game. See, I can't remember.
Well, that's all right. You're programmed correctly.
Well, the only reason, and you know it and I know it, it's not because one is better. It's just because they knew, like the phone book, to call themselves something that starts with the letter A, so they would be set.
Well, a winner is also ahead of Navy in the alphabetical order.
Well, no, winners is after.
No, but a winner.
You're right. That was a good point. I'm glad you made it.
Thank you very much.
The two of you are becoming fast friends.
I love this guy. He's my, the best.
So give me what are you looking forward to on Saturday? I see you got a couple notes there. I guarantee your notes are better than Matt's.
You think?
Oh, I know. I know Matt's notes.
No way. I've got a pen and paper here. I got. In fact, you said earlier that everybody that was in that stadium signed a document to the U.S. government for everything up to and including their life, and I just signed a document for everything up to including your life as well, Randy, and. Looking forward to inheriting this show in the future. So when you get back, we'll have it all sealed up and ready to go.
The only way that's legal is if I sign it.
Well, that's not true. I'm going to go back.
In the words of who told you, Babe? Was it Babe that told you don't let the truth get the word?
No, Bob Sheridan.
Bob, okay.
I'm going to stop by. We'll stop by the Harris household compound after the show and say hello to Sean Harris. Happy birthday to your son.
One of the Penn brothers, I think it's BJ Penn's birthday today. I think JD Penn's birthday was the 23rd of November, I believe. And today is BJ's.
So happy birthday to the Harris family, Big Sean. And so, yeah, everything's all good down here in sunny, beautiful Florida.
It's sunny and beautiful here, just cold.
It is. But it warms up during the day. I mean, it's not like it's a tundra. You know, Nevada. That is a beautiful state.
So how long have you lived here?
23 years now.
Now, I know it gets cold out there. How was the weather for the F1 Grand Prix that they recently had? I mean, I saw there was some controversy online. They had some cars get damaged on the course. Was it a success, G? Was it what they expected it to be? Was it better, worse? What was your opinion?
And before you answer, I'm just curious. Are you okay with being called G? Is just G cool with you?
I get that. You get that a lot. The G thing, yeah.
Hi, G. I thought it was the G man, but if it's just G.
People say the G man. They don't sing it like you do, but
I sing it very proudly.
There you go. There you go. It depends on who you speak with about Formula One. You know, if you're a person that works and lives here in Nevada and has nothing to do with the Formula One, it probably was annoying because there were so many road closures and problems that came up with that. And the weather, it was cold. You know, it was run at night. It started at 10 o'clock in the evening. And when you mentioned about the... cars being damaged, that was because it would like a manhole covers were not secured, and when the cars especially one vehicle went over it sucked the thing right up onto the bottom of the car. So you'd think they would have had that taken care of, but I guess it was a success money wise you know, I'll just tell you personally, I love caps. And I wanted to buy a cap, and it was one that just had F1, you know. And
$75.
$100.
Oh,
$100 a cap. And then they said, for the F1, I said, F you. It's ridiculous. I never heard anything so ridiculous. Then there was a jacket that was a Ferrari windbreaker that was $260. So I said, I think I'll just get a keychain. And they said, okay.
45.
35.
Wow.
So the prices were like, and you know, I mean, we don't even want to get into what they charged for when you had seats that were down by the garage area or whatever, that you could see what was going on. It was, I mean, this is for high rollers.
Sure.
You know, there's no question about it. And I love Formula One. I do. And I'll talk with anybody about the history of it going way back, you know, with the Jackie Stewart or Jimmy Clark. You know, I loved Formula One. Jochen Rindt. I knew it, all of that and followed. But this is, it's way out of my grasp now, you know. But I guess people want to be, you know, they want to be part of it. Yeah you know.
So. How were tickets, you know, were they sold? You know, because at first, from what I understand, they were just enormous. And then it started to drop, and then locals got free tickets. And, you know, then from what I read, you know, it was so desperate that they were pulling fans out of seats to have them drive the car. You know, just so they had a full, you know.
Well,
deal.
They had a thing where when the manhole covers got sucked up, they stopped the this. That wasn't during the race. That was during time trials or practice actually, and they were going to postpone it till they got it secured. And when they did, I think they were going to start at 2:30 in the morning to practice again. But they made all the fans that stayed, and there were a lot of them, they made them leave. So they weren't very happy. Now, they had some class action suit against them to try to get, because they never got, they gave them a voucher for $100. So what do? Buy a hat?
That was it. Two keychains. Or you can get two keychains.
You could get two keychains or a cap.
Right.
And then you had to leave at 2:30 and get out. But so, that's the kind of thing that went on here. I know it was the first year and they're going to get it straightened out or whatever. But they're still taking, it's been weeks, and they're still taking things down. You know, they built overpasses and everything. This doesn't even look like Las Vegas. You'd think you were in Amsterdam or something.
Right. But we went to go eat at Planet Hollywood, staying at Excalibur. You know, I'm a high roller. I stay at Excalibur.
Right.
And our dinner reservation was at 6. I'm like, we can leave at 5:15. We can leave at 5:30. It's 3 miles. It took us, I think, 35 minutes to go 4 miles. The traffic was brutal. There's still construction. What do you as a local anticipate for Super Bowl?
Well, it's going to be the same. Well, it probably won't be as bad, I don't think, because they don't have to restructure the entire city, you know, and have new roads built and, like I mentioned, overpasses and stands put up and lights put up. And,
that's true.
You know, the Bellagio, they changed the front of that because they wanted to have the cars go by where the water was going up. I mean, it's like it was unbelievable. So I think it's going to be a madhouse. You know, but I don't think it'll be anything close to what Formula One was here.
All right, we're at the bottom of the hour. Let's hit this break. I know we've blown through a few. We'll just be kibitzing for the next 30-some minutes until we get into hour number three, when we have Cody Garbrandt stopping by along with Josh Emmett. Matt may bring something to the table as well. He'll have about a minute and a half to decide what that may be. And we'll take a bet on whether you're going to enjoy whatever he brings, Ron. I'm going to say no.
I think I'll be happy with it.
Yeah, right, let's hit a break. We'll be right back. I can hardly wait for this.
This is Pete Banaszak from the Oakland Raiders. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
What's up, Tampa, Florida? What's up, Clearwater, Florida? This is Scott Yeager of the Challenge Mania podcast. And if you're a fan of MTV's The Challenge, just like me, or CBS's Big Brother, we have an awesome event for you on Saturday, January 27th, to get you ready for WWE's Royal Rumble later that night. Myself and the godfather of MTV, Mark Long, are hosting a Royal Rager party at Mugs in Clearwater from 1 to 4 p.m. right by Tropicana Stadium where the Royal Rumble is taking place. We'll be joined by Alyssa Snyder, Alyssa Lopez, Hunter Barfield, Paulie Calafiore, Sam McGinn, the Nolan Twins, and more cast members from reality TV. Come and hang out with us. Come and hang out with the Challenge Mania gang. Meet the cast members. Party like it's MTV Spring Break. It all goes down from 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, January 27th at Mugs in Clearwater. Trust us, you'll have more than enough time to make it over to the stadium for the Royal Rumble, because that's where we're going to. Tickets are available now at challengemania.live.
Join the invasion at the 2023 Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl on Friday, December 22nd at 6:30 p.m. when the UCF Knights face off against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets at Tampa's Raymond James Stadium. Two teams go head-to-head to see who will hoist the treasured Gasparilla Bowl trophy. Don't miss a minute of the bowl season action. The Knights and the Yellow Jackets in Tampa. Tickets are on sale now at GasparillaBowl.com.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Anthony Davis, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Hi, we are back hanging out at Apex.
You got it now, baby.
We're hanging out at Apex. Can I say that? Apex?
Just say you're at Apex.
I'm at Apex.
Don't make an issue of this, though. Otherwise, you're not going to be here again.
ain't that the truth. All right, so you had an hour and 36 minutes. I can hardly wait. What'd you come up with?
Well, I was researching the G-Man Show, the podcast. I know how you hate those, Randy. And the Word podcast.
Hold on a second. A clown trying to start. I don't hate podcasts.
Okay.
What I dislike is when a live radio show is called a podcast. When podcasts first started, it was little Jimmy Johansson at 17 years old in mama's basement doing a podcast. I'm pretty sure podcasters like Joe Rogan and Ron Gerard are doing so well that podcast is no longer awful. I'm just saying that this is a live radio show.
But that that's not, as you know, that's not really a podcast. That's almost like a little vignettes that go on. It's not a done live.
Ron does interviews, chats. Do you call them interviews or chats?
No, interviews.
See, I call mine chats.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that might be one of the problems.
Yeah, probably. I maybe need to start
doing
interviews.
I'm not going to tune into chat.
Watch chatting. Yeah, we're chatting.
All right.
But we just had a chat with Dustin Jacoby.
All right.
But Ron's... from the page, it says that, Ron, your show specializes a special emphasis on most major sports, past and present. So my question is, what do you think is the biggest difference between some of these legendary guys and the era that they played, Mike Schmidt, Rod Carew, Tony Gwynn, Ernie Banks, and today's Major League Baseball. Like, what is it, the gameplay? Is it the rule set? Is it the distance in the outfield of the stadiums that they've changed? Is it the endorsements, the money behind it? You know, what do you think the biggest difference is between the pastime of America and the current game?
Well, it money enters into it. You have to bring that into it. You know, there's no question about it. I think there was, I don't want to put the players today down, just, you know, but
I will.
Well, go ahead, but wait till I finish.
I wasn't asked the question. I get it.
On this show, you lose your breath, you lose your turn. Geez, I went to take a breath, and he was answering my question. I can't believe it. Anyway, I'm trying to think out what I was going to say, but I think that really a passion is gone from it. They don't play with the same passion. They can say that. They'll say, wow, he really ran down the line on that one, even though it was hit slow or whatever. But it's like, it's not there for me like the guys that you mentioned earlier. You know, these guys, they had a hunger. And I think I enjoyed it better. Of course, you know, I was younger then, too. It could be me. I don't want to be a hater and say that everybody that plays today is, lacking in passion. A lot of them do have it, but overall, that's what I think has gone from the game. And I think we're starting now with not only in baseball, but, you know, we have these review of the play. They're doing it in baseball now. You don't know whether to cheer or you have to hold it. You take it back that you cheered because it was reversed. Mm. It's getting crazy. And, you know, baseball used to be because you had to get the nine outs. I mean, nine innings, the three outs, 27 men up, whatever. Now it's different than it used to be. It used to be no clock on the game. There is a clock on the game now, you know, which changes everything.
Give me your thought on the ban of the shift. Because I have a big problem with it.
Well, it is a problem, you know. That to go along with a lot of other different... They're trying to be... Well, today people don't want to concentrate or look at anything for any length of time. But I think the shift thing is... I'm not for that.
You're not for the shift or you're not for the ban of the shift?
No, I'm not for the ban of the shift.
You know, I've
should be able to play where the hell you want to play.
And that's what I say. I say that I could play Major League Baseball. I believe I could at my age, at my lack of talent right now, because I can't hit to the opposite field either. Right. So because Major League players can't hit to the opposite field, they ban the shift.
Yeah.
They can't bunt. You know, if the Phillies knew how to bunt, they would have won the World Series. You know, they don't play small ball. They don't, you know, everybody has to get up there and, you know, try to jack a 16 run grand slam.
There you go. The guys are the home run hitting contest. Right. They love that thing. They're grooving the ball in there, and the guys, it's just not the way we grew up with the game.
So let me ask you this, Ron. Like, so going back to that statement, back in the day, I'm good friends with some of the Yankees, you know, management, Joe Malloy, those kind of guys. And there was a standard of you had to get into Major League Baseball to prove yourself, and then you were honored enough to wear the pinstripe. Like, the best teams were so far ahead of all the other teams that it wasn't even close. But now, with like the development and technology and training facilities similar to the Performance Institute with the UFC, you know, now it's just like NFL, any team can win on Sunday. Any baseball team can win in any market now. Do you believe that gap is closed? Are these teams that even now?
Well, they're getting even. The teams, you know, you mentioned the Yankees. That used to be, you know, when you put that uniform on, it meant something to you. You know, there's guys on the Yankees now that, and I have no basis for saying this, and I don't mean to insult people, but they don't look like Yankees to me, you know. They don't. Guys used to have I don't know if it's a swagger or something about them. When you played for certain teams, it meant something. And today, it doesn't mean anything anymore. It's just interchangeable. You used to have that in your DNA, you know?
Right.
Whether it was the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Cardinals, you know, these teams, they had pride. And you didn't want to leave. You wanted to stay there your whole career. And you don't have that today.
Well, so, in addition to that, I mean, now with free agency, these guys don't play long enough. I mean, go through any roster of any team. I mean, it used to be St. Louis Cardinals. You knew Ozzie Smith was at shortstop. My whole childhood growing up, Ozzie Smith was at shortstop. So now I couldn't tell you one player on the Cardinals roster. Like, they play for a season, they're traded. They play for 3 years, they're traded.
But here's Matt, here's the problem with that. And you know that baseball ranks below curling to me. Baseball ranks below chess to me, and I don't like chess. If you watch the sport, whatever that sport is, if you're a fan of that sport, you know who's playing shortstop for the Cardinals. You know who's playing center, you know, for the Lightning. If you don't watch, and you don't watch, and I don't watch, that's why we can't answer it. If you're a fan of the sport, then you know these names. But
no,
you're not.
Like if you're,
and I'm not.
If you wore 33 for the Boston Celtics, everybody in and out of basketball knows that's Larry Bird.
I mean, no. That's not true.
There were certain, that's not true. Each team had like a star that was like represented their town. Like, it was like Elway was the Broncos. I mean, I don't see that anymore.
No, you know, I agree with you on that. It's difficult to have that one guy like Mickey Mantle, number 7, Yankees. You know, you don't have that today.
I think you do. You just only have it in that city, in that town. Steven Stamkos is the biggest name on the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I'll bet you if you go to California, they don't know who Steven Stamkos is unless they're a hockey fan. You know, we think Stamkos is huge. I get Tom Brady. You know, there's a handful of names. I don't think Bryce Harper is well known as we think he is. If you're not a baseball fan, I don't think you know who Bryce Harper is.
Well, I just had a thought. That's just the way. I just had an idea. I mean,
I knew I smelled burning.
Yeah, it kind of answers my own question though. But I think when you drafted those guys back then, first round draft pick, this is going to be the face of your franchise. Then the community really embraced it, and they would have like dealerships like John Elway, Ford, or Carl Malone, you know, Water Sports, or whatever. And now with the free agency, they don't stay long enough, so these businesses in those communities don't put their name or banner on their building or on their marketing campaigns because they're not here long enough to really maximize that term.
I appreciate you coming in, Ron, because you're bringing out arguments between Knucklehead and me that we normally don't do. Because I'm going to disagree with that as well. Because if the number one draft pick comes in, or number two or number three, and they're performing, they're not leaving. I think the first one who may leave, and at least in the Tampa Bay area, is Mike Evans.
What business is Mike Evans anything? Like, where do you see him on the billboards? Where do you see him, like, the community rallying behind? That's our guy. He represents our city. He's the star of our team.
Let's go hit a break, and when we come back, athlete number two returns. It's been a couple years. Cody Garbrandt, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and BioAccelerator.
Hey, this is Chris from NSYNC, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
It's time, Tampa Bay. It's college bowl season in your backyard. ReliaQuest Bowl 2024. Two of the country's top head coaches go face to face. The Big Ten's Luke Fickell and Wisconsin Badgers collide head on with Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers of the SEC for the coveted ReliaQuest Bowl championship trophy. New Year's Day, Raymond James Stadium, Ticketmaster.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. Ernie Harwell of the Detroit Tigers, and I want to recommend Talking Sports with Randy Harris, one of the great shows of all time.
All right, we are back. What was your little surprise there with Ernie Harwell?
Ernie Harwell. It was one of my favorite baseball announcers. He was I met him, interviewed him, and he was an inspirational guy.
A word that I don't love. I agree. Legendary. He definitely was.
He was a legend. No question about it.
Let's welcome to the desk for our next chat. Let's welcome back Cody Garbrandt. Cody, how are you?
Doing great.
It's been a while, a couple of years, and I know I just mentioned it to you off the air. The last time you were on, you had your son on your knee. He was, I don't know, two maybe?
Yeah, he's two. Yeah, now he's five. He's in kindergarten. Crazy. Time flies.
Yeah, it definitely does. And that age is amazing as well.
So much fun. I like pick him up from school, take him to school, pick him up. He has just the things that goes through his mind that he tells you and asks you about. Like, very curious little boy. And I got him in wrestling, so he enjoys wrestling. Cool. But yeah, he's growing. It's great being a father. I truly enjoy it.
It's amazing what they think of, and you're like, how did that happen? And I just told Dustin Jacoby this. So my 3-year-old granddaughter went back to daycare this morning. Okay. She's been in daycare. She says things that'll just blow your mind, right? So she tells me on Monday, they live down the street, and we see them all the time. And she comes, she goes, Rara, I'm nervous about going back to daycare. Let's role play. I'm like, what? She goes, you be Nell and I'll be mommy. So I'm supposed to play the nervous one, right? So she's having me do this. And then she's like, no, everything will be fine, Nell. It'll be fine. What?
Yeah.
What are these youngsters coming up with?
Yeah, with their emotions. And like, you know, growing up, we didn't have that, you know. So like for me to help him out with his emotions and his feelings and like his nervousness or scaredness of going, like I remember going, drop him off to kindergarten. You know, this year, he went to the same school last year, preschool, but they let you walk him in. And this year, I was, hey, you're a big boy, you walk to your own school, I drop you off at the pickup line, and you go to your own, you know, he kept looking back a couple of times, and he gave me this little peace sign. I was like, all right, once the peace sign came up, I knew he was fine. But I was like, for me, it was like, man, kind of pulled my heartstrings, like, man, my little man's growing up. Yeah. But, you know, he's developed so much as a child, you know. 5 years old, like you said, you understand she's three and she's doing that, what they say and their emotions and what they think about. It's unreal.
How has that changed your life? You know, the person, you know, that you were to the person you are now?
You know, it has changed me a lot as far as, you know, I can't be as selfish. You know, the sport, you have to be selfish, but, you know, when you have a child, like, he needs my attention, he needs my love, he needs my, you know, my advice, you know, anything that I can do for him to help him out, you know, be a better version of me, willing to do and wanting to do. So definitely, you know, it makes me realize the things that I say and do all have consequences, you know.
Hey, Cody, so about the same age as your son, you and your brother had gotten into boxing. You know, your uncle Robert Meese, obviously an Olympic alternate in the sport. Are you, like, encouraging your son to follow your footsteps, or are you taking more of your mother's approach of, hey, I don't really want him to get the punch drunk, you know, brain trauma, etc.?
Yeah, you know, hopefully he won't have to fight, you know, I mean, that's why I fight, but I'm not going to deter him from not, you know, he loves wrestling, he enjoys that, he loves going to the boxing gyms with me, he loves going to the gym, you know, and for me, just to see, I like having him there, you know, my uncle took us there when we were young and watched Tim train. And through the osmosis of his hard work and, you know, seeing what he was, you know, sacrificing to get into the boxing ring and things he did. I just want my son to see that hard work and that dedication and the sacrifice of, you know, I can't, you know, life's not always going to be perfect. Everything's not always going to happen your way. But if he was wanting to, you know, fight or box, you know, I would help him out. You know, I don't want to be his coach, but I would help him, you know, get the right coaches, get the right people. But for right now, he's enjoying wrestling.
You know, we talk about with the young people and bringing them up, bringing your son up the right way. I've interviewed a lot of people and known them through the years, and you stand out to me as being really the side of you outside of the octagon. You're one of the most I don't know how I'd put it, but just a kind individual, and it's genuine. I can tell, and I've seen it going back a number of years. How do you turn that on and off? Like, because when you're in the octagon, I wouldn't want to be in there with you, you know, and yet I enjoy being here with you like this.
Yeah, I do too. I don't want to see you in the octagon. Right.
I don't want to see you in the octagon either.
You know, hey, people, don't get me started here. Yeah, you know,
from Beaver, you know,
that's right.
You got those Midwest roots, but you know, for me, I believe that I come from humble beginnings. You know what I mean? Like, always be humble. You know, there's always someone out there that's better than you, and it's gonna give you a run for your money. So for me, it's about being humble, be balanced. But when it's time to go in there and you have another man that's trying to, you know, hurt you and take money off your fight for your family, you gotta switch your mentality as weeks leading up. You know, early on in camp, I'm fun and playful. I'm enjoying it. You know, as it gets closer and closer to the fight, it's of course anxiety and thoughts and things are gonna approach you there where you have to, hey, believe in your training, believe in what you're doing. Believe that you're putting everything into this, but know that you have to be ready to go on there and become a savage. You know, I mean, it's point blank. It's this is not a sport. I don't like that it's called a sport. I've never been in a sport where someone's trying to kill you.
I agree.
It's not a sport. Like, I get it. They're trying to generalize it to the main public about being a sport, but it's not. You know, so we have to have those. I don't even know if you want to. What do you want to call it? Just to flip the switch. Like, I have to. I have to be able to. Like, hey, this is. I'm a professional fighter. I gotta have this. Wear this cap today. Once I get out of the octagon, all right. I gotta put my business cap on because things might happen after the fight. With the win, you have opportunities. Okay. Once I'm done, I'm driving home from my fight. I put my dad cap on. You know, I gotta go back to being a father. So for me, it's just about realizing that I have to balance all these, you know, different personalities. And not get stuck in I'm no love or I'm, you know, just, you know, when no love, it's time to be no love, it's time to be no love. And that's a small fraction of my life that I'm that no love person. And to be Cody, who I love, and I love to be around people and hear their stories and hopefully bring, you know, happiness to a lot of people in my life and vice versa. You know, so that's what I try to do.
I know how important those stories are. You know, going back to before your time as an MMA fighter, I go back to, this is the longest running MMA show in the country. I was at UFC 11. I started covering at UFC 1, back when it was cockfighting. And we were finding this all the time, you know, that everybody thought MMA fighters were thugs. Everybody thought that this is your life. This is how you are. And it's, no, we're real people. You know, we have real families. This is just what we do for a living. And I think not only was it important back then to help legitimize the sport, I think it's important to continue to tell those stories for the same reason.
I truly believe that too. I'm on the same page with you as that. You know, it's like we said earlier, it's not, I've never been in a sport where someone's trying to break your arm, knock you out, really, like, you know, do bodily harm to you. I mean, football, yeah, like you're trying to knock, you know, tackle them and stuff like that, but this is a sport that's, you know, not for the weak. You know, you have to be mentally, physically, emotionally sound. Got to have a little luck in this sport, too, you know. Luck goes a long way.
Sure.
In the right place, right time.
Let me ask you this, because I have a problem with this, just, and I'll say it up front. You know, I'm a judge in the state of Florida, and I hate when fans or even teams are yelling, you know, break his arm or do this or do that. And that's not what this sport is about. No. And talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I see a lot of that, you know, from a lot of coaches or teams that, you know, it's like, hey, we get it. You're going to go there and fight, but it's, you know, as barbaric and as, you know, violent as this sport is, it's still, you know, two humans in there that believe that they're, you know, really, what are we fighting for? We're fighting for a better life. know, at the end of the day, we're fighting, put food on the table. Some people have different, you know, things that motivate them. Maybe it's win because they're going to the women, they're going to get the sponsorships, they're going to get this. You know, for me, it's I want to provide for my family. You know, that's what I want to do, and I put everything into it, heart and soul. So yeah, like there are obviously bad apples in the sport that put that bad taste in people that are trying to become fans of MMA or mixed martial arts. But that's as the whole, you don't have too many of those. Yeah, you have a few, but you know, that's life. Nothing's going to be, you know, perfect.
For sure. Final question. Talk about Saturday night, returning into the octagon. Your thoughts on your opponent, and what can we all expect to see?
I'm excited. You know.
Yeah, you look it.
Yeah, great camp. You know, I mean, I'm just ready to get in there. You know, make this weight, go in there, and just have fun. You know, that's it. That's it. You know, who knows when the last day I get to walk in the octagon is? You know, so just enjoy it all. You know, just enjoy it. Go paint this masterpiece that I'm about to paint on Saturday, and you know, keep the win streak going. And you know, not trying to look too far in the future because I'm just trying to be engaged with right now. And just excited. You know, Brian's tough. You know, he's got some, you know, he's got some, you know, power in his hand. He's got a good guillotine. You know, who knows what he's prepared for. He's came off an injury as well, you know, so who knows what he's gonna go inside, you know, come inside the octagon. But he better be ready for
what's about to happen.
The best no love that's gonna go on there. You know, I'm excited and I'm ready to put on him.
Well, enjoy your time back in the octagon on Saturday. Thank you for stopping by. We have a couple gifts for you. I know we're going to get your address. We're going to send you a box of 8-Man Strong Gear. We're going to send you some Bucked Up energy drink. And because I remembered your son as well, we're going to send to you so that you can bring to him. It's from fantasypets.com, and it's a laser printer dragon.
Oh, wow.
It is so cool.
Oh, I love it.
I'm going to try to send two so you can have one as well.
Because
they're definitely cool. Right. Thanks for your time and enjoy on Saturday.
Appreciate it.
Top of the hour. We will be right back.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.